happened. Oh, Lord. I got home drunk. Mm. Anthony went to go get Taco Bell. He came back with Taco Bell. I was like, yes. I had one bite of potatoes and I was like, no. And then I fell asleep on the couch. He woke me up at 5 a.m. I woke up, literally, I woke up. I saw the Taco Bell bag on the coffee table and I went, oh, my cheesy gordita crunch. And I ate two bites of it before getting up, stumbling, definitely still drunk,
yes.
like stumbling yeah. into bed. And then I woke up at like 9:30, mm-hmm. and I was like, I feel like not great, mm-hmm. but not terrible. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I was still a little bit drunk yes. because a couple hours later, I felt fucking awful. That's and I was like, I think
the same thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I got out of the shower. First of all, I like woke up and I was like,
oh, my mouth was so dry.
I'm here. And I like looked and I see like clothes strewn about. My ID is in one corner.
Uh-huh.
My credit card's in another. So uh-huh. I'm like, okay, good. I got both Check. Of those. Like my phone's over here on the nightstand. I'm like, all right,
that's
we're winning.
That's how I knew we were back is because I left later to go get some Chipotle. And I was like, where the fuck is my debit card? And I was like, no. Oh, we're back. Like, yeah. I can't find my debit card. This is how I know that yep. we've gone out.
We're back, baby.
Like, yeah. I'm just like, okay. I'm like, my ankle's bruised. Mm-hmm. Okay. My back really hurts. And then so I like stumble into the shower because I'm like, okay, all right, we got to record. And I'm like, get out of the shower. And I literally still feel like I'm like, I don't know if I can drive because I'm still too drunk to uncross
oh,
my
God,
eyes.
Oh, God, no.
And I was like, this is not good. So I texted you guys. You were like, okay, yeah, let's do tomorrow. And I was like, oh, phew. Went back to sleep, woke up.
Then it hit. Yeah.
Then you got that hangover.
Yeah. I mean, for the listeners.
Yeah.
If you haven't picked up on it, we went out for the first time, like as a group. We sat outside
at a bar. Outside of the bar. That's right.
And we were there for hours and things got rowdy. And I want to remind the listeners who have been longtime listeners, this used to be our standard Friday night.
Okay? Yeah.
Like sometimes Friday and Saturday.
That's
we
right.
would go out multiple times.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A weekend.
That's right.
And be okay.
That's
and
right.
like I it took me all day. Yeah. And then when I went to sleep last night, it was a hard sleep. Like yeah. I was like out because Anthony was like, oh, maybe we should see if the Paxtons want to throw darts or something. And I was like, listen,
that's cute.
It's not like
I needed all day.
Yeah. I didn't leave my bed. So so that's cute.
I was like, I would love to go over there, but I don't think I can.
Right.
I actually don't think I can.
I think it was just the exhilaration of being back.
I was more
at
exhausted.
The place. And yeah, it went because we got there early too. Yeah. We were there at like 7:30.
Yeah, and we left at like 1.
Yeah.
So
I did kind of, I think, the smart thing, which is I woke up, acknowledged that I didn't have a hangover, but I didn't feel great. My mouth was super parched. So I went heavy on the water and I was like, you know, I'm going to take some Advil just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did go back to sleep. And so I think that's how I avoided the all day hangover. And I felt okay. Like I felt like if you guys had come over, I literally was just more or less being lazy.
Yeah.
But dude, I went litty titty. And when I tell you I've been drinking, so I have really had a come to Jesus moment in my own life with myself. Yes. That night, because I was like, I've been over quarantine going back to my favorite, which has always been Jack and Coke with Jack and Cherry Coke. Right.
It's my
go-to bevy. I can drink them all night. I'm fine. I can have conversation. I can be fun. I am absolutely fine all the way through. I have decided that I need to relax on the very fat inducing beverage choice. So I went to my old classic
vodka tonic
mm-hmm. with a lime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because it looks like water that I drink them like water, but after one, I was like, I had told our friend Varad, I was like, I love you.
Oh, I was telling everybody I love them. The amount
immediately to love fest.
One of the last things I remember is having a long conversation about Israel.
Oh God,
oh, Lord,
yes, we
so
listen. This is not. No. Wow.
That was pre-shot. That's why you remember. Yes. I remember post-shot whenever I was hugging your boyfriend and telling him, like, we had your boyfriend and I had a nice long conversation where we were like, you know what? I think maybe we started off on the wrong foot, but like, both actually, we both love Christina so much. And like,
I love that. Yeah, it was. Oh, Lord. We did not train properly. No. We've been out the game.
We weren't ready.
No.
Next time, we'll take that L. And
yes, next time it will be a much slower roll. Yeah.
I was just surprised at, like you were saying, Cassie, like once I took Tylenol and actually got some food in me, I was starting to feel okay. But I was just surprised at how tired I was. Like, I was exhausted. Just so tired. Like, I could have slept all day. Like, it's so, just caution to all of you.
We didn't even work out.
We're getting back out there. I did notice, though, yesterday was supposed to be a rest day. Yes. So I was like, I'll take that W.
Nice.
I got up and I worked out this morning. I was like, let's just get it.
Okay.
Get it in. Well, I'm sorry.
House bragging camp going. I will do it later.
So there is something that we did want to talk about.
Okay.
Keegan.
And I know nothing about this.
Yes.
I'm excited.
So, pre-recording, we were getting real nice and spicy about some internet drama, right? And just talking about trolls and the internet.
Trash human
And
behavior.
I remember, I think it was on Jezebel, but there was a couple years ago when somebody had written something in basically saying, like, what should I do? Because she had been married to her husband for a long time. They've been together for a long time. You know, ideal partner in every way. She's like, he's a very, like, kind, compassionate human being. And, like, we have kids. He's a great dad. Like, all those things. But she went on his, like, work computer or something for some reason and noticed that he was logged in to these like fake accounts. And when she went and like looked at,
because she's like, he's cheating for sure.
She's
right?
Like, well, of this course. Is
yeah, what's this?
Shady. Yeah. So she went and like looked at it and they were troll accounts that he had created where he was just going on posts and just trolling people. Like, wow. He was just an internet troll. Like, this was like a thing that he did. Like,
he just loved to spice it up.
Right. And so she was like, okay, I'm going to confront him about this because like that's big news, actually. Like, yeah. This, because they are living this like weird separate life where they just like to upset people. Like, that's, you're getting something out of it where you want to just like make people angry and you're just being cruel for no reason online, you know? And so
like,
she,
what does that do for you? Like, what kind of adrenaline, you know, dopamine thing do you get from?
Right. And I wish I could remember what he said it was like, but it was something like that where he was just like, listen, it's like a release for me. Like, in my everyday life, I'm like this person, but like, it's
therapy.
Therapy. And so they went to therapy together.
Good.
But he hadn't, by the time she wrote this in, like, he hadn't stopped the behavior. And so she was like, what do I do? Like, what do you do if like your partner is like a good person in every way, but you find out this thing about them, which is,
I feel like it's a precursor. Yeah. If he's great in every single way, but then I feel like, first of all, like, I am somebody that's not even sure that the internet is a good thing for humanity in general. I don't think that we need to know everybody's opinion on everything all the time. Like,
yeah,
I do agree. Just, I think the pros are not as, I think the cons are going to come out over several years and of what the internet is. But that kind of behavior where you literally want to go to a stranger and just say the nastiest things, I feel like is such a red flag. And it's like, well, what happens, you know, if something goes wrong in their life, you know, what if that's his need, if that's his way of release, I don't think it's healthy.
And it's a cruel way to release. Like, it's to not strangers. I mean, it's not like, okay, you go and punch a punching bag in the gym or something to get out that like
aggression
or whatever it is. It's like, you are
literally harmless.
I've dealt with internet trolls.
Yeah, I think that's harmful.
Probably have all dealt with internet trolls. And like, it is, you have to. Okay, so I have a feminist account, right? Like Instagram account. And like, in the beginning, I engaged a lot like with the trolls. And it was like a real problem for me. Like, it was like it negatively affected my like
ability to function because I would get so worked up and like so angry about like this thing and like how could this person believe like this and blah blah blah. And I had to figure it out for myself to like, okay, you need to disengage. You really don't need to like, it's not worth it. And again, half of these accounts are probably troll accounts with people who don't really have these views or beliefs at all. But to wish that, like to do that to somebody online for no other reason than like you just need validation or something is really gross. Right?
Yeah.
Really gross. I don't know what I would do if I found out that like somebody in my life was just wanting to be mean for no reason.
Yeah.
Like,
for being mean's sake. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, it's probably one of the biggest deal breakers. Like
I just being mean.
Yeah. Like
bullying. Yeah. Yeah. It's bullying.
It's very bullying.
Yeah. Oh, and it also makes me wonder, like, he's got to be so keyed up. Like he's got to be so tightly wound.
Yeah.
Like, so it's okay. He's perfect in every way. So what is he not communicating? What is he not getting out like in his day-to-day life that he's so tightly wound that he feels like he has to
release it in this way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely therapy. Like therapy needs to happen because you got to get to the bottom, the root cause of what makes you that kind of person that makes you hateful deep down.
Yeah.
Because yes, you may not be hateful to the people that you love or around you, but that comes from a very hateful, angry place. And, you know, whether it's past child trauma or, you know, just trauma mm-hmm. from being bullied in school, whatever it is, a lot of people hold on to things that they don't even realize they're holding on to.
Right.
The guilt, you know? I would feel being cruel to people, even if in the moment you felt some kind of like catharsis or something doing it, like later on, the shame spiral I would go into for being mean.
It makes me think of Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, God. That situation, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Have you heard about this, Cass?
I know that she went off of Twitter for a while and then she was back. I don't know anything.
A bunch of her past tweets resurfaced where she was just like telling other women like kill yourself. It was calling them whores.
Well, and it was Courtney Stodden, which makes it even worse because Courtney Stodden, if you remember, she was married to Doug Hutchinson, I think is his name. He was in like The Green Mile and he was an actor in the 90s. Uh-huh. But she married him when she was 16 and he was in his 50s.
Ooh.
Her parents had to sign this thing to allow them to get married.
Yeah, no, that's fucking horrible.
And people were, I remember it because it was like mid-2000s. We had a very slut-shamey culture and like people were
went after Courtney.
On her? Yes. To her.
Mm-hmm.
To
She's
her.
A clear victim.
Right. This but at the time, it was like this was a woman who, a girl.
Woman.
Who dressed like she dressed provocatively and she had big breast implants and she, and people basically were like, she's asking for it. Is basically, that was the.
Yeah.
And at that time, so when she was like 16, 17, not only did Chrissy Teigen didn't just tweet about it. This is worse, in my opinion. She went in her DMs. She was privately messaging her. I hope you kill yourself.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Terrible. Like, which is
why
worse?
Why is this just coming out now?
Because Courtney Stodden released it. Like, she was like.
Why now?
Like, I don't know.
Why not? I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think. Wow. I don't understand why people feel the need to be so ugly online, because I really don't feel like Chrissy Teigen would go up to her
her
face say something like that.
No.
And I feel like internet trolls are the same way.
Yes. 100.
It's like 100%.
Would you go up to your neighbor and say this kind of nasty behavior? Yeah. Like, why do you think that the internet provides some sort of
anonymity? It's because of anonymity. It's because, I mean, it's the same reason why trolls create troll accounts. Like, they create these shadow accounts because they don't want to
be tracked.
Operate as themselves.
Know deep down that what they're doing is wrong.
It's shameful. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's why they wouldn't do it under their own name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
The reason I was asking about like why now, I just wondered if like something had happened recently that brought this to the surface.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Courtney Stodden's not the only one that's come up.
Oh, there's
like Farrah Abraham also came out.
I didn't see that, but I mean.
With stuff. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's not good. Moral of the story is Don't be a troll.
Yeah. Be nice.
Don't be a dick. I feel like that's just kind of like life advice in general. Just don't be a dick. Okay?
I mean, if people followed that, we wouldn't really have a podcast.
Yes, but well, true. Yeah, true.
But seriously, like
it costs nothing for you to just like be as kind as possible. Right. Like it's life is hard for everybody.
If everybody was nice and trolls didn't exist, we wouldn't have that great T-shirt that we have now.
Oh, you're right.
Dr. TJ Fossil wouldn't exist. Like, there's no reason. Like, if you don't like something, I just don't understand the I've literally never in my life, like, written a bad review about someone, person, thing, place. Because I think, you know, things happen, right? Like, oh, I had a bad experience at a restaurant. I mean, did you set me on fire? You know what I'm saying? Like, if something...
The only exception being blatantly... racist, bigoted, homophobic behavior.
Right.
There was this,
but I just don't see why, like, if you just don't like something, you wouldn't just go, like, who cares?
Right, just move on. I've listened to lots of podcasts that I'm like, not my cup of tea. Yeah. Might be good for someone else.
Sure. Right.
But either, you know, even if it is something...
Don't think my opinion is that important.
Thank you. Right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's people thinking that anyone cares about Mary's opinion about the local Applebee's. No one cares.
Gives a shit, Mary.
No one cares.
Nobody cares.
And when people write reviews,
appetizers, but your waitress, you didn't like her. Like, who gives a shit, Mary?
Right. And when people write reviews for chain restaurants, that makes me laugh even harder.
I know.
Because I'm just like, it's a franchise. Like, you're like, my experience at this specific Applebee's was subpar.
Okay. Well,
better luck next time, I guess.
Yes. Well, this is My Worst Date Podcast. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
And
I don't know why I sang my name. It was like very...
No, I like it. You're mixing it up. It's good.
I think I might still be drunk from 2 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
Oh, man. I feel like when we were drunk, we had a really great idea, like, came up. And then now I definitely don't remember.
Dude, asking for specifics from that night, not going to get it. Just a vague general sense of things.
You're all never going to get it. Never going to get it.
Oh, man. I don't know. And you know what? In my recovery haze yesterday, I had a really good idea. I was like, it's not tied to anything. I just really want to throw this. Oh, it was because somebody posted something about Andre 3000. Yes. And I'm like, I don't know how we get him into a fuck, marry, kill, but we need to. Like, that was my thought process.
I mean, famous rappers.
Yeah, Atlanta rappers.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, because you could technically do Big Boy. You could do
Luda.
Oh, Luda.
No, I love me some Luda.
I know. I'd marry him. He seems like fun.
He seems like a good time.
Then, when we went to his show, I was like, oh, man, your shit was so problematic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. But you know what? A lot of it, like, I was listening to Ja Rule.
Yes.
And I was like, oh no.
That's the concert I went to, though. It was Ja Rule, Ashanti. Oh, dude. So much. Wah, 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 wah.
Amazing.
So much. It was Ja Rule, Ashanti, Ludacris. Not Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, dude, it was.
But the lyrics, though.
It was a lot.
If you listen to, I was listening to Ja Rule, and I was like, I would. And it made me think about people's reaction to, like, Call Me By Your Name, Montero, and like WAP. And I was just like, this is shit I was singing at like 8 years old, just like full chest out.
Yeah.
Like, and it's almost.
Yeah. What's that? Like, he ain't talking about me.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He ain't talking about me.
Yeah.
We also have CeeLo Green, which I don't think we should do.
Oof, no.
That's
no.
A woof. But we can also do Big Boy.
Nelly? From
Nelly
Atlanta?
Is St. Louis.
St. Louis. Oh, okay.
Goodbye, me. Yeah. St. Louis.
Thank you.
Yeah. But we could do Big Boy because Big Boy is also obviously from
Atlanta.
And I love Big Boy.
We obviously can't do more TI
people from Atlanta.
What is Run the Jewels?
Killer Mike?
Yeah. Isn't Killer Mike from LA? Or Atlanta?
I do not know.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. Childish Gambino.
I did not know Childish Gambino was from Atlanta.
Yeah, he has
the show Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. Durr, durr.
Childish Gambino.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Andre 3000. Mm-hmm. And
Luda?
Ludacris.
Luda. Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
Oh, no. I know what I'm doing.
All right, you go first.
Yes. 100. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've grown up. I'm an adult now, and I'm going to make an adult choice.
Okay.
And that choice is I am marrying Childish Gambino.
Uh-huh.
He is, I love him. Love you. 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 hot, smart, like, I just want to sit and have tea and conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And drink coffee in the morning and just wake up and just talk to me. Like, yeah. I just want to have all your knowledge in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we would have such deep conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to fuck Ludacris. Or no, I'm going to fuck Andre.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be wild. Mm-hmm. Now, he's got a lot of shit to say, too. But it's not the kind of conversations I want to have. I feel like those are more Christina conversations. Aliens. It's going to be like, you know, is time a flat circle?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be those kinds of things. And I, as much as I appreciate somebody.
Didn't he have a kid with Erica Badu?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. I don't have that Erica Badu energy.
Yeah. Well, you can always pick up a scented candle.
I could
channel her. Yeah.
But I couldn't. It's a lot. Yeah. I feel like this is something Christina can handle that I cannot. Wow. And as much as I loved, I mean, I'm telling you, when I tell you my like full on like early 20s post high school crush was fucking Ludacris, like, ooh,
he's just fun.
He's so hot.
Yeah. Yeah. He just seems so fun.
Oh, and he's so hot. God bless America.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, when I saw him live in concert, I had like a real moment of like, oh, today in this day and age.
Okay. But that's his entire catalog.
Oh, I know.
There is no, I mean,
oh, no, I
you
know.
Can't just get rid that's of the problematic ones.
Transition like, into Fast and Furious.
Listen, yeah. Listen.
He's like, just get this movie money now.
Yeah.
Very smart of him. When I tell you, I feel like that dude in Office Space when he's like jamming like NWA or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's how I feel about listening to Ludacris now.
Rolls up the window.
Just, yep, and turn that puppy down a little bit. I don't want nobody knowing I'm listening to Area Codes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm gonna mix it up.
Okay.
Because I think I'm going to marry Ludacris.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You moved him into that movie and I forgot.
He's got that movie money.
Yep.
It seems like he doesn't take things too seriously.
It's
we can
true.
Talk about, like, I want to see growth between what he was rapping about and where he is right
so.
Now.
I would like to think, you know, he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he's an attractive, really fun guy. So I'm gonna marry him.
I bet he is funny.
I think so.
I bet he's funny. God bless it.
Fuck Donald Glover.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think he's super, super attractive.
Yeah.
He is very, very smart, but I don't think I could be married to him.
Oh, really?
Like, I think that he is a genius.
Yeah.
And he's involved in so many different projects. And I just, for me.
He's married to his art and his work.
Correct.
Yeah.
My dad told me when I visited him in Ohio, he said, I always wanted you to end up with somebody that loves you more than you love them.
Oh.
And I was like, something about that, like, hit hard. I was like, I kind of do need that. I need.
You do.
Yeah.
100%.
So I was like, okay. And I don't think Donald Glover would love me more.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Ludacris.
Know thyself.
And I'm going to have to kill Andre 3000.
Oh, wow.
Specifically because he's very rude to servers.
What? Oh,
wait. You didn't tell me this beforehand. I feel like I'm just now getting.
Are you serious?
Backward knowledge.
Super rude.
Okay. I got to change some shit up. That changes shit up for me.
Oh, you
I'm
guys.
Still marrying Childish Gambino. I don't care.
You're ruining my life.
No. I have to. That can't. You know I don't play with that.
Yeah.
Deal breaker.
Yeah.
Full deal breaker.
That was for me too. It was very disappointing.
Wow.
It was when they were supposed to be playing Coachella. This was a few years ago. Obviously, I was still on the floor. But yeah, they were. No.
Wow.
No.
They came into your.
Yep. No.
Okay. Well, wow. I'm gonna tell you what I was gonna do, and then I'll.
Oof.
With that information.
I know.
That changed things for me.
It really changed things. I remember doing a Cosmo quiz, a Cosmo girl quiz,
yes.
Whenever I was in.
Which was facts.
In middle
Based
school,
in
right?
Mm-hmm.
Based
sure.
in science.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, who's your celebrity boyfriend? And I did it and it came back Andre 3000.
Yeah.
And I think Andre 3000 is so hot.
Oh, yeah.
And like so talented.
Yeah.
And like so like.
odd just and unique.
Odd and interesting. And I was going to marry him, not going to lie, because I was just like, I feel like this is going to be a wild ride, right?
Oh, it yeah. would have been, yeah.
You know, and I was like, Erykah Badu being your, like,
Your co-parent.
Yeah. Like, oh, great. You know, this is going to be great. This is going to be weird vibes that smell like sandalwood and
and patchouli. Mm-hmm. Full on.
Yeah.
Patchouli.
She's going to help me wrap my hair up and turn me into a beautiful bohemian goddess. And I was into that vibe. But as you both, you know, feel the same way, it is a deal breaker for me. I can't be with somebody who is rude to waitstaff, and I'm very surprised.
I am
that Andre 3000 would be that kind of person. So because of that, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to kill him. Which it's kind of ruined.
Yeah,
the situation for me.
Out loud. You could have just been like, I pass.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah, he wouldn't make eye contact, and he would like order through somebody else that would give his order.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
That's really weird.
I know.
But also, is it like also like maybe anxiety?
I don't know. But I mean, like we would have like Stevie Wonder come in and be like an absolute treasure.
Sure.
And I'm like, Stevie Wonder was the kind of like we had a bunch of famous people that came in. Literally like stop. All conversations everywhere would stop. And he was always so gracious, shaking people's hands and everything like that. And
it was just a different time too. And I don't know, like anxiety is such a thief of things. You know what I mean? Like having personally dealt with anxiety myself, not like maybe to an extreme level, but I know even sometimes my son, like I see him in situations in public and I'm like, that is so fucking awkward. And I feel like I want to step in and save him. But I know that he's like, I know what he deals with. His anxiety is a little worse than mine. Mm-hmm. I know that he says things that are really awkward. Sometimes when he was younger, he wouldn't have made eye contact with you. He definitely would have ordered his food through me probably. Like I just know how crippling anxiety can be. And I'm not saying that's what it is. Maybe he is just a fucking asshole.
That is a good point. I should have thought about that or considered it.
But I wonder too, like, do you have an extra layer of anxiety? You're sitting in fucking West Hollywood. Your level of fame is very high. You probably have all eyes on you, feel very insecure in some ways.
I do wonder.
I just don't know. And I'm not, maybe I'm being wrong.
No,
maybe I'm speaking out of turn.
I'm going to stick with my answer till I know otherwise. But I do think that is an interesting thing to bring up as well, because Outkast did break up. They don't really make music anymore. I do wonder if maybe he doesn't really seek out a lot of other projects.
Yeah.
So I do wonder.
Big Boy does a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, maybe the level of fame was something that he couldn't cope with.
We did talk about at the beginning of this episode, internet trolls.
Oh, sure.
Or what have you.
And in real life trolls. And the attention of, like, you know, everyone thinking that you're, like, the hottest thing ever as well, which...
Or blaming you for the breakup of Outkast and coming up in your face, like trying to say your business. All right. Okay. I will put it out there with a grain of salt, and it didn't just happen to me. So
yeah, no, I believe you. Yes. I not to dismiss what you've said.
Yeah.
It surprises me, but I also, I'm not going to make excuses. Maybe, you know, maybe he is just a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We
literally don't know these people, Dr. TJ Fossil. We don't.
And the only person who's had
wild speculation,
who's had any actual in-person
experience
is Christina.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick with my current answer till I know otherwise.
Yeah.
Once I meet Andre, I will report
back.
That's
right.
You know, I'll let you know.
Maybe he's really very kind and sweet one-on-one. Maybe he was having a day. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Wild speculation. Here we go.
Okay. But we're going to set Andre to the side for now.
We're going to swipe left for now.
For now. And okay, this is very hard for me, but
I think
I'm always the one who like wants to like marry the guy who does the cookout, which you know is going to be Luda. Luda's going to have the house,
but you got that with the cookout. Warrior energy.
But I can't. You know, one of our very first like fuck, marry, kills on this show was like our crushes, right? And he was mine. Like I was he's my Donald Glover is my like celebrity crush, right?
Yeah.
And I will say also, listening to some old Childish Gambino, he had some he had some lyrics that I'm like, side-eyed a little bit too. So I want to acknowledge that.
I can see you and Donald Glover like getting into projects together. Yes.
Yeah. If we can maybe like channel the energy so that we can like be together.
It would
so
be a very just active life where I think with, like you said, with Luda, it's going to be
kick your legs up, hang by the pool, which sounds great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not so gonna lie. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have Vin Diesel over.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to have a cookout.
I mean, I am
sounds
mad at that.
Freaking great.
We're there. Fine.
But I do think I'm going to marry Donald Glover. I'm going to fuck Ludacris. And yeah. That's, I bet you Ludacris is.
Yeah. I bet so too.
Yeah.
I bet it's fun.
Yeah.
He gives me good energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys want to take five and come back with stories?
Yep. Yes. And we're back. All right, Christina.
Okay. I'm going to start this off. I found this one on Reddit, and the question was something like, so it does have a happy ending.
Okay.
But it's like, what did you do on a date with your future spouse that may have, like, you're shocked that you got to marry this person because they should have dumped you?
I love it. I love these stories.
Okay. So this person says, not me, but my next door neighbor's story. I didn't know their story until one day another friend told me what happened and she confirmed it.
Oh my God.
She was at a party and caught him looking at her every now and then. She kind of liked him, so she decided to make the first move. She took a few shots for courage.
Oh no.
And went in.
Oh no.
As time passed by, she continued to drink while talking to him and got pissed drunk. Like not being able to walk drunk.
Oh no.
He was the type of guy that didn't drink that much at all and presumed that she can drink a lot. But when she stood up from the couch after a few hours, the alcohol swept her to the ground.
Oh no.
So as a gentleman, he offered to carry her home. Note, this is when everyone was late teens, no car, no money. So he started to piggyback her home.
Oh no.
And it was like a 30 to 45 minute walk.
Oh
no.
Like normal sober walk.
Oh no.
He managed to carry her on his back, and he was about 500 meters from her home and stopped to take a break for a moment because his back hurt him. So he's going to try to carry her in his arms. Oh. A few steps away, and he notices a very unpleasant smell.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Since he isn't from our part of the country and it's a very rural area.
Oh no.
He asked, barely conscious, her, what is that fucking smell?
Oh no, oh no.
She just mumbled, I shat my pants.
Oh, oh no.
And then proceeded to pass out in his arms.
Oh no.
All poopy and everything.
Oh no, is his back poopy? Because she was piggybacking back there. Oh, oh, God.
So what does this guy do? He brings her home, lies her on the floor since he's afraid of messing up her bed or couch, and left. But a few minutes, he comes back, wakes her up, and asks, would she mind if he helped her shower since she can't sleep all shat up? Mostly because it's not hygienic.
Right.
She agreed. And after he bathed her, she asked him to sleep in her bed in case she needed him.
Oh,
so one time I asked the guy, how the fuck did he get over that? He said they clicked at the first glance.
Amazing.
And he just felt the need to take care of her because he took responsibility to bring her home right.
Oh, honey.
Oh, my God.
He laid beside her until she fell asleep, then watched TV until she woke up. And they were inseparable since then.
Oh my God.
Since that first date, I've never seen them apart. It's been almost 15 years since then, and they just recently had a beautiful little daughter.
Oh my God. That is so cute and shitty.
I shut myself.
It's like, oh no.
He's been carried in her arms.
He's like, I will make it home.
I will. He's like officer and a gentleman. And we will make it.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I don't like your face. I'm nervous.
No, I'll explain at the end. Well, okay. You'll know. You'll know why my face looks like this at the end.
Okay. Is there a trigger warning? Shit.
No.
Okay.
I should start this story off by saying that I was a really awkward kid. I shot up tall at a young age and was super skinny and gangly. I was pretty much the textbook definition of 90s nerd. Think glasses, braces, zits. I thought playing the tuba in the high school marching band made me not like the other girls.
I love her so much.
She's like, not like the other girls. I played
boom,
tuba.
Boom, 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 boom.
I wish I knew how to play the tuba.
I love her.
God. Okay. Fast forward a few years post high school and I had blossomed. My skin had cleared up. Yes. My body had filled out and my tuba playing days were behind me.
Mistake, but whatever.
Yeah. I had just graduated college with my bachelor's degree and was out at a bar with some friends when I ran into a guy I went to high school with. Not just any guy either. The guy. You know the one. Uh-huh. The super popular, charming, funny guy that would have been way out of my league in school. Seriously. Oh, yeah. I thought about you, Christina. Seriously, he looked like Devin Sawa, and that was high praise at the time. Middle part, bowl cut and all.
Oh, oh wow. God.
Swoon.
Swoon. Definitely wasn't into those guys, but
yeah. I mean,
I was. That was my type in high school.
Did you see Devin Sawa's tweet where he posted a picture of Jodie Sweetin and he said, growing up, I always thought that I would marry this girl so that we could be sweet and sour.
Oh, my God.
It made me laugh so hard. This is the daddest of dad jokes and it's so funny.
Oh, my God. And I love
sweet
it.
Sweet and sour. Okay.
Okay.
Let's call him Chad because, well, it just feels right.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
I recognized him right away and felt my face get hot. He introduced himself as if we had never met before, even though we had about half our classes together.
Ow.
I was dumbstruck, not knowing what to do. I just shook his hand and introduced myself. When I said my name, it's kind of unique, he kept hold of my hand and gave me an inquisitive look. I saw the light bulb go on and he said, oh, you're my name from high school? The disbelief in his voice simultaneously gave me a weird feeling of pride and made me want to hide under a rock.
I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. When I confirmed that, yes, I was she, he gave one final chuckle and said something to the effect of, well, it's nice to re-meet you. We spent the next hour talking, and I felt like it was something out of a teen romantic comedy. Before he and his friends left the bar, he asked for my number and asked if we could go out sometime. I had to work hard to suppress giggling like an idiot when I said yes. He called the next day and we set up a date for the following weekend. I was so nervous. I spent the whole day the day before at the mall with my roommate trying on outfits. I ended up blowing half my cash on two dresses I could not afford just so I could have options. The day of the date came and I was nearly having a panic attack. Even though I was so excited to go out with Chad, the idea also sent me into a spiral of feelings like that same... into a spiral of feeling like that same awkward girl I had been before.
Right.
How could I possibly be charming and interesting and pretty enough for this guy who was basically a god in our school to want me? Aw. My roommate tried to talk me down. She helped me get ready. She did my hair in one of those early 2000s spiky updos.
Oh,
we remember the spiky updos.
13 going on 30 where she got all those like...
Yes. But I was still feeling a little shaky as the time for our date drew closer. Trying to calm me down and loosen me up, my roommate brought in a couple of whiskey shots.
Uh-oh.
We took them together and then had another for good measure.
Oh, no, no.
I'm naming this episode Whiskey Shots.
Whiskey
just
Shots.
Just from what we talked about at the beginning. That is...
They hit right away. I hadn't really eaten all day because of the nerves, so I'm already feeling a little tipsy. But the booze had done its job, and I was definitely feeling less nervous. Chad arrives looking amazing, and we get in his nice-ass Volvo. I notice right away that he's one of those drivers that rides the brake, and his driving combined with the alcohol on an empty stomach was making me woozy.
Oh, that is what makes me woozy in a car. Mm-hmm. Like, stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, stop, go.
That the hovering over the brake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm
luckily,
so sick.
We get to the restaurant without incident. Once there, things are going relatively well. I order a salad and a glass of wine, in parentheses. 90s shows really had me thinking this is the only acceptable meal choice for a woman on a date.
I mean,
that's it is, where's
this
the line?
Story is hitting on all levels.
Yep.
And we have a great time catching up, and I order another glass of wine. When I stand up to leave, I realize that the salad was definitely not enough of a base for everything I had drank, and I feel a little unsteady, but put on a brave face and try to push through it.
Muscle!
He wanted to take me to see a light show at the park, which sounded really sweet and romantic, but his driving certainly wasn't mixing well with the drinks I had had. It was all I could do to try and stay focused on what he was saying, but my head was starting to spin.
Oh, no.
In my head, I just kept thinking, keep it together. Push it down.
Yep. Yep.
Come on, Connor. You got this. Man up.
Chad was pushing and releasing pressure on the brake the whole drive, and suddenly I couldn't hold it in anymore. I reached for the button to roll the window down, but before I could roll it down enough, I blew chunks all over it, the side of the car door, and my new fancy dress.
Oh no.
I was mortified. I had just thrown up in the expensive car of the most popular guy in school.
Oh no.
I didn't know what to do and just kept apologizing over and over. Chad was taken by surprise, but was actually really nice about the whole thing and just wanted to make sure I was okay. To be honest, I wasn't. I still felt sick, and now I felt tears starting to well up in my eyes from the embarrassment. Aww. Chad did his best to comfort me and then told me that his apartment was just around the corner if we wanted to go there and get cleaned up. I nodded. He helped me inside and lent me some pajama pants and a t-shirt. Aww. When I got into the bathroom, I saw myself in the mirror and just started crying. All my carefully laid plans, the dress, the hair, were for nothing. I was covered in vomit with mascara running down my cheeks. Oh, no. I cleaned myself as best I could and got myself together before going out to face Chad. I had fully expected to call a taxi, apologize, and leave, but when I got into his living room, I almost started crying again. He had laid a picnic blanket out in the on the living room floor with lots of fluffy pillows and a picnic basket full of fruit. He asked if I was okay enough to finish our date.
Oh my God. Are they married now?
I said yes, but only if I could brush my teeth first. We sat together on the blanket, watched a movie, and talked all night. Fast forward 17 years. And Chad and I are still together. Somehow, a little nerdy girl like me bagged the hottest, sweetest guy in school. If you're wondering, yes, we did go to our high school reunion together. I drove.
Yes!
Isn't this like, isn't that crazy? Like, you and I did not coordinate our stories.
No.
At all. Sometimes that happens. It's so weird.
Oh my God.
Yes. Two success stories. Two success.
You can, dude. You can be, that's the thing about all these stories. Like, yes, it's funny when you shit yourself anyways on a date. It's extra funny. I mean, years later.
Yes. Not right away. Not at the time.
Here's the thing. Shit happens.
Literally.
It happens. Vomit happens. Mm-hmm. All kinds of body functions happen. Yeah. If you're on a date and you really like somebody, I don't think it has to ruin it. Unless you're kind of, you know.
Not feeling it anyway. I mean, yeah. You'd have to, I think that's the thing. When I always say, you know, we talk about when you know, there is something. It's like, you know, there's that thing that happens when you're dating somebody and you're like, there's that confusion of like, well, he didn't call me when he said he was going to call. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you're confused, it's not
right.
No message
is a message for sure.
That's exactly right. And so like something like this, it wouldn't matter. If you set his house on fire, if it's right, I mean, that might.
Yeah. Well, does he have an
arson problem?
Yeah. A little fire bug. Okay.
We can go to therapy about that.
But if you connect with somebody, you connect with them. And clearly in both of these stories, these were people that they connected with to such a degree that it was like, okay, this is in a one-off incident, probably.
This is most clearly likely, not a pattern of behavior.
Also, do as I say, not as I do. Sure. But don't drink on an empty stomach.
Yeah. Honestly, like.
Yeah. Never going to be good.
Yeah. It's not. It's not.
Never going to end well.
All right. Shots on an empty stomach is.
Spoiler alert. Mine does not have that same ending.
Okay.
All right, so this story is one I got from Reddit, and she says, once I was under the impression I was just hanging out with this guy and a group of friends until I was on my way and sent a message to all our friends that I thought were going to be invited. Turns out it was just me and him.
Mm. Ooh, surprise date.
I hate that. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, especially when you're like, oh, okay, cool. All my friends will be there. This will be fun. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, I would be very uncomfortable in that situation. That's not, it's I mean, weird. You didn't consent to being on a date.
Right.
You know?
So aside from being trapped on the date, he kept trying to make moves and asking weird stuff like, do I know what bukkake was?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Sir, no.
Absolutely not. This is no. So he then dropped me off at my house, but not before singing Nicki Minaj out loud the entire drive there.
Oh, I mean, was he good?
And enthusiastically trying to get me to join in.
I'll let you know. Listen, Nicki Minaj is hard. As someone who's tried to do it at karaoke, yeah. I'm like, this is much more difficult than I thought it would be. So props to him if he's got it on lock.
I don't know why that is the funniest part of the story for me. Like, I can just imagine this guy driving me back to my house, like, just belting out Nicki Minaj, just top of lung.
I mean, also, to me, what that says is this is a person who has practiced at home.
Yes.
Like, you have to have. You don't just absorb that kind of thing. Like, you were at home playing Nicki Minaj on repeat so that you could learn all the words.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So mind you, before he let me out of his car, he insisted that I press the buttons on his keys so that I could see how his keys make his windows roll up and down.
Okay.
I'm like, what are you, 12? Cool. It's your first car.
Wow.
I eventually had to say that I was about to pee myself so that he would let me out of his car and go inside.
Oh, I hate it. God.
Isn't that horrible? Like, just...
You're also trapped. Too,
you're just so trapped in that situation where you're just like, yeah, nice. Oh, so wait, so cool. Your keys make
wow. You know what it reminds me of? And you know, listen, I love all of my friends' kids, my family's kids, whatever. But it reminds me of reminds me of when little kids like are showing you the same thing like over and over, and you have to kind of be like, cool.
Oh, fun.
That's awesome.
Anytime you hear anyone talking like that to you,
they don't care.
No.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
don't. Oh, also, what is bukkake? Come on.
Oh, come on.
I'd be like, I don't know. Explain it to me.
Explain yes, please. It to me. Explain to it to face. Me.
Well, it's when a bunch of guys... Never mind.
Not a first date topic, my dude. Like at all.
I hate it.
Ugh.
Ugh.
All right. I have got a tainted love for you guys.
I'm so nervous.
I have many pieces of notebook paper.
Oh, are you me?
Also, your notebook paper, did you go buy
like a spiral bound?
No, notebook? Because did you and you took the margins off? It's so clean. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, it's just one with the. Like it's the just one of the regular spirals. Ones. You just hit it from the top. It tears at the top.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah,
okay.
It's nice and clean. Because
mine don't look like that. If I'm writing on like it's like spare pieces of paper that have been ripped out. They have like all scrappy. The ragged edges. Yours looks profesh.
Now, I have heard this story before, randomly throughout different places, but. For this go round, I mainly got my information from a Deadline called Ransom with Josh Mankiewicz. So I'm going to do a
Dateline?
A Dateline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I said Deadline. I don't know why. It's a Dateline with Josh Mankiewicz called Ransom.
Okay.
And trigger warning for this, there's talk of sexual assault.
Okay.
So, but we're going to have a conversation. After this.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you guys about the kidnapping of Quinn Gray.
Oh,
okay. I know this one. I listened to this one on the Dateline podcast and it stuck with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. This one did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about St. Johns County in Florida.
This story has everything.
Yes, it's Florida.
In Florida.
It's
Florida.
Very, very upscale community. Quinn and Reed Gray had newly moved in. They have two little girls, 8 years old and 6 years old. Reed was actually a very, very successful businessman. He had made his money in like healthcare kind of thing. So like things are looking good. Quinn is driving around one morning in her Mercedes. She had... dropped the kids off and then had gone to get her nails done and was going to get her hair done and all kinds of things. September 4th, 2009, 5 p.m. Quinn calls Reed. Reed answers the phone. She's like, listen, don't freak out, but I've been kidnapped.
Cool.
He's like, what?
Cool.
She's like, there's a note at the house which details everything. So I need you to go and read the note. And deal with this. And he's like, okay. So he hangs up the phone. He's at work. He goes out to his work parking lot and is like sitting in the car because she's like, don't call the police. Just go home and read the note. And he's like sits in the car and he thinks about it and then he's like 911 fucking one.
Yes. Yes.
He's
yes.
like, I'm gonna call.
He weighed all the options yeah. and was like, I'm not equipped yeah. to deal with this. Yeah. Actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice job, Reed.
So the SWAT team like breaks into their house and is like, go, 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 go. And they like find a note, a really long note written in Quinn's handwriting that basically is like, three Albanian men
okay.
want $50,000. Don't be a hero. Don't call the cops. Just wait for my instructions. And they're like, okay.
Things that sound 100% fake.
Well, as soon as I hear Albanian men, okay. I'm like, this did well, never happen.
It's like unnecessary details. It you is. Know what I mean? It's just 100. Like, you can always tell when somebody's lying whenever it's just like, was that a detail that needed to be in here?
Also, how the fuck do you know that they're Albanian?
Yeah.
Like, you just are like,
you're like, I got a vibe.
How the fuck would you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know if an Albanian if they walked across like crossed no, my what path. Does, like, yeah. what, why would what you, is that? What are your tells?
What? Yeah, exactly. Thank like, you.
I have no.
Frame They're of wearing reference. The Albanian flag on right. their shirt,
and still wouldn't
and
know.
And I still wouldn't know.
Me neither.
I do not know what the Albanian flag looks like. So kudos to you if you can.
They were
my
like,
my
she education won the geography
system.
Bee in middle school.
Exactly.
And she's like, I know.
I know that's an Albanian flag yep. if I've ever seen one. Mm-hmm. So,
and for some reason, all your shirts have the Albanian flag on it.
That's weird.
Yeah,
I just like yes, weird detail. Unless they came in and were like, "Hey, put we're your back. Hands in the air. We're Albanian."
I hope that they did.
I hope that's I hope what happened.
Okay.
So what we're saying is this is real.
So yeah, right away, like because they're rich and white, the cops are taking it super seriously.
And she's okay? like that pretty and white. Blonde.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though like the main cop was like, it is kind of weird because like kidnappings don't happen yeah. these days.
Kind of
like
sus.
It's really yeah. difficult. To get away with in any kind of yeah. way. Like, you really can't get away with that traditional kidnapping. So they're like, this is kind of weird, but whatever. We have to take it seriously. So they wired Reed's phone because Quinn has been contacting him. So they're like, okay, so we'll, you know, hopefully. And this dateline, you can hear her calls to him. They've got them all recorded. It's
girl
wild.
I'm pulling up my... vacuum right now. I'm
exactly. Sorry, mm-hmm. So she calls him again. More than 100 officers are working on this. They're like, we've got to find out where she is. She gives a like, she's like screaming at her husband, like, get in the car with the money, you know, and go here, go there, and gives him directions to drop it off at a Chick-fil-A. So you know it's
no,
serious.
You know it's real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
That's how you know.
Pick you up some waffle fries while you're there.
Yeah. So she calls back because like they're like, okay, great. The money drop's going down at the Chick-fil-A. All these 100 cops are like, we've got this.
And here's me with this knowledge that I have so far,
mm-hmm.
and I'm already like, okay, Albanian men. Sure, sure, sure. Yes, honey, I'm on my way drawing up divorce papers because we are through. What is going on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so she calls back and she's like, the drop is done. Like, you fucked up. I see all these cops at this Chick-fil-A. Like, I know you want me dead to read. And so she texts, they go and... they go back to their house and stuff. And so then she's texting Reed. I know there are cops at the house too. Like, you weren't supposed to call the cops. Like, you fucked this up. You fucked it up. And now I'm going to be dead. So they're like, the local cops are freaking out. They're like, she's on to us. She spotted us at the Chick-fil-A and at the house. So are they watching us? This is outside of our realm of handling this, so we're going to call the FBI. So now there's even more. Now, like, the FBI is involved. It's this huge,
Sorry.
Massive this operation. Yeah. So they determine, because they're like, okay, well, the FBI can do a lot of things that the cops can't do. So they're right. like, what's her number? And they, like, plug it in, and they're like, okay, so whatever's happening, they're actually smart. They're removing the battery in between every call, so they can't track her. They can find from pings that she's still in the area when she is on the phone, but they can't track the phone because the battery's being taken out. So
noted.
They end up that whole next day, they're like, okay, what we need to do is get we need to get a warrant to be able to track this cell phone. And so they go through it the whole day and they're like tracking this phone. They're like, holy shit, she's on the move. She's on the move. We got her. Until they realized that they had accidentally flipped two of the digits and they had been tracking all day the wrong phone.
Imagine, like, you know, we all make mistakes at our jobs, right? Yeah. Like, human error happens.
Yeah. The people you don't want to have human error be involved in are any civilian employee that's supposed to protect your life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anybody in the medical field.
Yeah.
These are people who you really don't want to have a bad day or.
Right. I mean, also, look, anybody who's worked in data entry. Copy and paste, my dude.
Yeah,
like, don't be like, I'm going to manually enter this number in.
Don't be a
it's
hero.
Just like, just copy and paste just it. Copy and paste it.
Yep. Yep.
Leaving room for error.
So now Sunday morning, we're 36 hours in and everyone's freaking out. Like, Reed hasn't heard anything from Quinn in like over 12 hours. The FBI gets her mom to start calling and texting Quinn's phone. Like, I'm so worried about you. What's going on? I can't reach you. Leaving messages. So they're getting her mom involved. Now, her mom,
this lovely
woman, Walmart greeter and dog breeder.
Oh, bless her heart.
Like,
and she sounds like it on the Dateline where you're just like, it. You sound sweet. Like, I don't know what her name is, but I'm feeling like a Joyce. You know what I mean?
Or
like
Betsy.
It's pretty close. It's Gail.
Oh, Gail.
Gail. So Gail is worried about her daughter. Her daughter's been kidnapped. She's freaking out. And now she is like the main person that is communicating with Quinn and the kidnappers. So, yeah, because Quinn finally contacts her and says, don't get Reed involved. Like, no Reed. He's already like fucked up a couple of times. Like, we're going to deal with you. Go to the beach and in the bathroom. Of the beach, there is a note.
The grossest place on earth.
Yeah, I was just like, all I was thinking of was the Venice beach bathrooms, and I was like, oh my god!
So she makes smell that from here.
Makes her mom go to the bathroom. There is a note that's on the toilet paper roll that says to drop the money at Joe's Crab Shack.
What?
Man, they love
you guys. No, like a Chick-fil-A, a beach bathroom, and like, a Joe's Crab Shack.
Are you just
like,
hungry?
Why are you doing this to me?
It feels like a lie.
Oh my god. So she's like, go to the Joe's Crab Shack and throw the money in the bushes. So her mom's like freaking out. She's like, I don't want to do it unless, you know, I can see you, whatever. But she's like, all right. She grabs the duffel bag and like the FBI is like supplying the money because this is Labor Day weekend. So banks aren't even open. So the FBI gives them 10 grand, even though it's not 50 grand. They put 10K in a blue duffel bag. Mom drives by the Joe's Crab Shack and chucks it out the window into the bushes.
With a tracker.
So then it's got a tracking in it.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching or whatever. They see three guys go into the bushes. Look at the bag, kind of kick it, pick it up, take it, and get into an SUV. And they're like,
were they wearing Albanian t-shirts? Do we know?
We don't
asking
know.
Asking the real questions.
But they were like, holy shit, we've got them. These are the three Albanians. So they're fucking trailing them. And the SUV is being all weird, going through like side residential streets. And they're like, yeah, this is definitely them. They're trying to throw off a trace. Finally, the SUV pulls into a gas station and a Jacksonville police car pulls up to them. So they're like, what the fuck is going on? So FBI gets involved and goes in there. They're like, they take the guys in. They're like, what do you know about this kidnapping? Because the Jacksonville police has no idea.
Where's
by this
Quinn?
Point. Yeah, is in a different jurisdiction and stuff. And they've been trying to keep it under the radar, like under the news. These were three German guys that were just college students that were like, oh, look, there's a bag in the bushes. Wouldn't it be cool if there was money in it? Mm-hmm. And they like kicked it, found it, and was like, holy shit, there's money in it. Then they realized they'd been being followed and thought that they accidentally picked up like drug money
or something.
Yes. And were freaking out. So they called 911 and met the cop in the gas station to be like, we found all this fucking money.
What do we do?
So yeah, it's just three German tennis players, like college exchange students that were like,
they looked Albanian though.
I mean, Hamburg.
They did.
And so, yeah, they're like totally unrelated. So that's another lead that has followed through. So now
what are the chances, though?
I know that you know, it's three
guys.
Yes. And they're foreign. You know, it's the whole thing. So now the FBI is like, OK, mom, you've got to get like aggressive with them when they call back.
Counting on you, Gail.
Yeah. Because meanwhile, like mom has dropped off the money and then gets another call a little bit later from Quinn, who's like, where's the money? Where's the money? And she's like, what are you talking about? I dropped the money in the bushes at the Joe's Crab Shack. And she's trying to explain which bush it's in and stuff like that. And then a man gets on the phone with Quinn. And so she finally, this is the first phone call where like, it's not just Quinn. They hear a man and he's being very aggressive and he's like, did you just hear that? I just shot my gun and like the next time it's going to be in your daughter, and like threatening Quinn. So mom is freaking out and you can hear it in her voice. It's heartbreaking. She's like super, super scared. So anyways, like it goes on and they end up like Quinn tells her mom, like tell Reed to check his email. There's a photo proof of life in his email. And so they're
we
like,
we don't need that. We're talking to you.
Exactly. Like, cool. So that photo.
Just giving more information than you needed
again,
to.
Like, I'm talking to you, so we don't need proof of life. You're clearly alive.
Right. And so the photo, though, it was taken from an iPhone, which automatically generates like a geotags. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, well, thank you. So now we know where you're at. And so they go pretty much like 15 minutes after they got the photo. But the space is cleared out. They're gone. So they're just like, oh my God, they're so frustrated. And mom tries to do yet another unsuccessful drop. But that's when the news gets involved. So finally, they've managed to keep this quiet from the news, which I'm like, what else is going on in this town that 150 officers are working on that this didn't come out in the news that like rich white lady got kidnapped. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Was there something bigger going on in St. John's County, Florida?
Maybe.
Yeah. Right. So
Florida.
Finally, like, <true. laughs> she's in the news and like she texts her mom cursing her, like, what's, and then the FBI told her mom, like, tell her that they found her SUV and like that's how the news got involved. Like, tell her there's still no cops or whatever. But,
they clearly know there's cops.
Yeah. So things are falling apart. She's been cursing her mom, not talking to Reed. And finally, like, 911 is called and it's Quinn and she's standing in a mall parking lot. And she's like, I'm the one that's been kidnapped.
Oh, no.
And she's going on. She's like, I've been tied to the chair and the blah, blah, like crying, like hysterical. The 911 operator's like, I'm so sorry, ma'am. Like, just stay where you are. We'll come get you.
And again, on that
I don't
Dateline,
know if you can hear my eyes rolling.
I loved the way you. Oh no!
I learned that from Beyonce.
The Dateline. You can hear all of this. Like they play like all of these calls.
Yeah, and it's audibly bad.
Yeah.
So here's where the story like sticks in my mind, is because like, they rescue her, and the first thing she says, she's like, my husband wanted me dead. My husband wanted me dead, like, blah, blah, blah.
Your husband's like, the one who called the police in the first place.
Right.
Right.
Thank God he did, too. Thank God he did right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
So, she's like, my husband wanted me dead, and they're like, ma'am, you've just had a very traumatic experience. Why don't you go rest for a while, and then you come in. And you do a statement, you know, when you're feeling up to it. So 2 days later, she gets some sleep. She gets some rest.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. If she's been kidnapped, wouldn't you want to get a statement? Unless maybe they weren't even believing her
at that point, at because that point. I'm just like, why?
But then also, then why are they not arresting her?
And even if you don't believe her at that point, you know someone else is involved because somebody else was on the phone call. So why would you not want to take her statement right away? Regardless of the situation, you should want to take her statement right away because if you really believe she was kidnapped,
they don't take her to the hospital.
That's also
they let
weird.
Her go home. And she's at home for 2 fucking days and then waltzes into the police station.
That sounds about white.
Yeah, and, yep. It's and a privilege
then,
right there.
And then this is where it gets fucked up. And here's where the trigger warning about sexual assault comes in. Oh, I just wanted to say, you can fast forward through it if you want. But they're like, tell us from the beginning, like everything that happened, like from the beginning. And she's like, okay, so I was like in my closet and then some guy with yellow gloves and a gun came in and basically said, this doesn't have anything to do with you. Like, we're loan sharks and your husband owes us money. Now, Reed had...
That is also how I describe myself. I'm a loan shark.
Yes. Yeah, I mean...
This is my job description. I'm a loan shark.
It's not a James Bond movie. Like, no...
Thank you.
No... villain comes in and there's like, here's my entire plan and all of the details you would need. Yeah, like nobody does that. Like, no one would come in and explain themselves.
I'm Albanian.
Also, and also a loan shark. And also, your husband owes us money.
Like, we have some time. Could you please write a 3-page letter to describe what we have just told you?
Right?
They have been talking to Reed this whole time too, because they're like, this is fishy. And she, like, let's examine Reed to see if he's involved. Cause they, and they, he spares no details. He's like, listen, the marriage is good now. We've been talking about having another kid, but we've both had affairs and, you know, it's been troubling, you know, that we've definitely had to like work a bunch of stuff out. He had like, even like Quinn's mom had been like, is this an easy way to get rid of Quinn? Like, instead of getting a divorce kind of thing? Like, she had suspicions.
Right. It's a rich guy, too. Like, he wants to protect his money. You have to look at him first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, $50,000. Their mortgage payment on their house was $25,000 a month.
Are you?
Okay.
$25,000 a month.
In Florida.
Yeah.
You imagine that fucking mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, are you Queen of Versailles? Like,
listen, though, because I know what $25,000 a month will buy you in Los Angeles. Like, as far as like a rental property thinking, just and so
$25,000
in a mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an enormous.
No. So they were like $50,000. Like, why?
Also, that's a low amount.
Yeah. Very low amount compared to what he's bringing in a year. So they're, and he
a loan shark is going to kidnap your wife for $50,000 when you're worth millions upon millions.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
So the Albanians don't know our currency very well. I think.
they did the math wrong in their head.
So, yeah. Like, 2 days later, she's telling her story and she's like, you know, I was brainwashed because he kept saying like that it didn't have anything to do with me and they would just get the money and let me go. And then she says, like, I just thought that if I had sex with him and I made it the best sex of his life, that that he would let me go.
That's
and
how that works.
She's like, so I did it with him and sometimes I mean, I even enjoyed it, but yeah. And so the
again,
cops
like
listening to her talk,
I fell
and he's
asleep
like,
because
I've
that's so
never once heard a sexual assault survivor mention that they enjoyed it. You know what I mean? He's like, that was a real
just,
red
again,
flag for
it's
me.
It's too much detail. It like, is. It's you're saying it's, too much.
You don't
like,
need to say that.
You didn't need to say
and
that.
And your body, okay, to be fair to victims of sexual assault,
of
your
course.
Body will do fucked up shit
correct.
That you have no control over. So
absolutely.
Just because maybe your body had a reaction to a circumstance in which you were being forced to do something does not mean that you are okay with it. It doesn't it doesn't negate the fact that it is sexual assault.
Correct.
So I do want to be clear on that.
However,
but if you were telling the story to someone,
it's a weird detail.
It's a weird detail. And she's like, we did it in every position all night long.
It's that's a brag
again,
actually. I feel like you're coming
literally,
in bragging.
Quote unquote, every position all night long. I just wanted to make it, you know, really
it's
good.
So weird, Cassie. This is why this story stuck out in my head when I listened to it.
It's
you did
haunting.
because her the way she's talking about it is so weird. And again, it's unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds braggy.
Yeah.
You actually sound like you're bragging about how good you are in bed.
Yeah.
And how sexually gratifying you can be so that you can get out of, you're going to sleep your way out of the situation.
Yeah.
It's just so fucking
just
weird.
Very weird. It was like a weird thing, weird red flag for the investigators too, who are like, okay, well, from her story, they're able to get that they moved to a hotel. Like the first night, apparently she was tied up in a warehouse, but then they moved to a hotel. And then she mentioned him getting spicy chicken drumettes. And the way she's
drumettes.
From a Publix. And that's how they're able to find the home dude. Mm-hmm. They like splash his face across the news.
Oh, right.
And then dude calls up 911. He's like, can I ask why my picture's in the news saying that I kidnapped some white lady? Like,
right.
He's like, hello. So they're like, that's you, bro? Like, you want to come in? So he comes in. He's like,
hi.
Yeah. Hey. So his name's Jasmine Osmanovic. He is a Bosnian auto mechanic.
He's not Albanian.
Exactly. See? No one in this story is an Albanian. Spoiler alert.
Got it.
But they talk to him. They're like, he comes from a good family. And at first he's trying to say like, oh, it's not me. I was with this chick named Stacy. I had a 2-night stand with her. Her name's Stacy. Mm-hmm. It's not me. I've never seen this Queen Grey ever in my life. And they're like, yes, you have. Like, we have you at this Publix. We have statements from people at the inn that mm-hmm. you guys were together, and like goes on and on and on. And he's like, well, yeah, I'm not involved in this and I'm not guilty and I have the evidence to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I know it's going to be her word against mine. I know she's rich and I'm not. So I made a tape just in case.
Mm. Receipts.
So the investigators listened to this audio recording that he had of her. Basically, they find out that she had been like on her own that first night by herself. And then they hear through the audio tape that like basically like her planning to give herself rope marks so that it would look like she had been tied up. They hear her having what sounds to be like very intimate consensual sex with this guy. They hear her talking about like, I wonder what my kids are thinking right now. Like she says that. I wonder mm-hmm. what my kids are thinking
That's
right now.
So fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, you hear her talking on the tape, laughing, joking, telling him like, hey, we need to make sure our stories always match up and never deviate from the story, like that kind of thing. Basically hearing her plan this whole thing, mm-hmm. saying stuff like, oh, like he's like, oh, I bet you your husband never gets it like this. And she's like, haha, like laughing about it and stuff. So they're like, okay, police do a press conference immediately after listening that tape. And they're like, just so you know, we have placed Quinn Gray under arrest mm-hmm. for extortion. And they arrest Jasmine Osmanovic for the same, basically trying to extort Reed out of $50,000.
Well, and also like, how much money did they put into this police investigation? You brought in the FBI. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's where my head went to.
Like resources.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. They were saying that weekend it was like over $90,000 that they spent.
They spent more in resources than she was trying to get from her husband. Like, okay.
So at first, like Reed and her mother, like everybody stands by her, is like 100% like she was kidnapped. Like this is a breach of.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. So he's standing by her. They're going on like the Today Show and shit like that. And he's like, I believe her, all this stuff, until he finally, like, and the investigators are like, my dude, take a listen. And he hears the tape, and that's when he's like, he takes the kids, thank God. Mm-hmm. He takes those two precious babies.
Thank God they didn't have another kid. Like they were like planning on having a third kid. Jesus.
Yeah, he takes those babies, he files for divorce. But even still, her mom is saying that like she had a problem with alcohol. She had recently come out of treatment, and her defense was saying like that she's bipolar. And for me, I felt like that was incredibly insulting. Like, yes, my mother, 100%. My mother is bipolar.
I know lots of people who are bipolar.
Never ever ran off.
Bipolar disorder is actually pretty common. A lot of people have bipolar disorder.
Right.
I know quite a few people who have bipolar disorder. Yeah. And it's not to say that it can't
manifest itself. You can get into a manic state and do things
that you wouldn't normally do. However,
like, but she hadn't been officially diagnosed as bipolar.
Right. So you can't just say it.
You can't just say, oh, I'm, and blame it on, you know what I mean? It's unfair to people who actually do struggle with that disease. So, basically she was just saying, like, if I wanted $50K, I would have just taken it from the bank account. Was like her.
Then why didn't you do that?
Her whole thing. I feel like it was a Gone Girl type situation that somebody just wanted attention.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That's exactly what it sounds like. For $50,000?
I think that her first mistake, well, she made a lot of mistakes, but her first mistake was if Reed had come home and read the note, I think she didn't want cops involved. She just wanted the $50K and his attention.
Yeah. And then she'd come back and there would be this fine. Whole, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had this whole, it's like a total Gone Girl story. And I think that that's what stuck in my mind.
But like
about
even
it.
Worse than Gone Girl almost, because it's like, this. What did Reed do to you? Like that this needed to happen to him. You need to put, and there's clearly something very, very wrong with her, because not only did she do that to her husband and her children, but also her mom.
Her mother.
That's so
like to put
up.
Your mom through and something like
her
that.
Her mom is sticking by, like in the Dateline, she said, like, I believe my daughter is mentally ill. And
see, this would be my mom. My mom would be like, she'd be like, I'm gonna stick by you. I don't love it. Almost right.
Yeah, that's the it's sense moms, I got from Gail too, is that she didn't love it, but she's sticking by her.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is it seems that Quinn stopped at a gas station like a few weeks before this whole like thing, and that's how she met randomly Jasmine Osmanovich, and they started some sort of affair. But what is weird is that they scrubbed, like they looked everywhere. They could not find any sort of proof that they had been in contact with each other. There's no texts. There's no phone calls.
That's so bizarre.
Or anything like that, which is very strange. And then there is also one point on the tape where he says to her, like, well, you know, I'm going to let you go after this weekend. Which is the only kind of weird thing that they're like, hmm. So all that being said, they did put both of them on trial for the extortion. They both got probation basically and time served and have to like repay the investigation money or what have you. But she still sticks by her story to this very day.
Wait. Okay. So you stick by your story. Which story? The story that you're bipolar? The story that you're kidnapped by three Albanian men? Like, where are we at?
Yeah, did
like,
she ever story? Own up to the fact that, like, it wasn't
three
real?
Albanian men?
Yeah, like, no. Well, yeah, in her statement, she's like, I thought it was three, but I guess it's just only one.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. How do you, ma'am?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it. Yeah.
Also, I don't know. So often we cover stories in this Tainted Love segment. Where I get so upset by the outcome because it's so
absurd.
It's absurd that like you could do this, waste this amount of resources and time from like law enforcement, put people through this.
Fit and you wanted retention.
Right. Yeah. And you get probation. Mm-hmm. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. We have people sitting in
prison. We have people in prison for
marijuana.
Years because of weed. Like weed. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So if you want to be infuriated, watch this Dateline because it does. It makes me want to set my hair on fire. I'm of the opinion it was all completely made up.
Yeah.
And it was a bid for attention.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I stand with seeing everything. And then the couple news articles and stuff that I've read too, it just doesn't add up. It's too convoluted and too, made up. But yeah, that is the story of the kidnapping in quotes of Quinn Gray.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Thank you.
I'm speechless for that one.
That's terrible.
Oh gosh.
Oh man. So What have you guys been watching?
Okay, so in my hungover state yesterday, which is never, like, Eric even knows, like, I cry a lot when I'm hungover. I just get very emotional about things. So I spent a lot of yesterday crying. One of the things that made me cry was watching, I have to look up what it's called. It's a recent documentary that's just come out.
Okay.
About Sesame Street.
Stop.
I think it's on HBO.
I bet you, because they have the rights to Sesame Street.
Oh. Ladies, when I tell you, I fucking sobbed.
I can't feel my feelings like that right now.
I sobbed
too soon.
So much, because it's beautiful. First of all, Sesame Street is a fucking treasure.
Absolutely.
And it's such an incredible story of the fact that, like, somebody looked at television, especially programming for kids back in the day, and noticed it was all like, hey kids, tell your mom that you want Tootsie Roll. Like, it was all about selling.
Yeah.
And she noticed that there was a gap, especially for inner city kids who were already behind their peers. Like, but some of them had never even seen a book until they'd entered school.
Right.
So she's like, what if we could use television to help teach children? It was like such a noble vision.
Yeah.
And wow.
And the fact that they really introduced, I mean, like, you're talking about kids who've never seen maybe cultures outside of their own.
Yes.
So they really, you know, introduced different.
Embracing differences was a huge thing on Sesame Street. Like, when our friend Amy had her baby, she asked for everyone to bring books, right? Instead of cards. And Christina picked it up for me. I was like, can you find this book at the bookstore, at Book Soup? And it was it's been in circulation since like the 80s. And it's like the Sesame Street book where it's like, we're all different, but we're all the same. It was like a huge platform for Sesame Street to like be diverse and my expose favorite, that to kids.
My favorite Sesame Street book is that there is a monster at the end of this book.
I know. Oh. Grover was like our generation's Elmo.
It was. Grover was our Elmo. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because I was watching and they showed like all these beginning the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I was like, oh my God. I was singing along to like all the songs.
Okay. That is what
it
I'm
showed
watching.
The fucking typewriter. It showed like,
I'm like, gonna cry,
Big
actually.
Bird and it just and it showed a bunch of like, you know, Jim Henson and Frank Oz. And
can I also just say, in general, thank fucking God for PBS.
Yes.
Thank God for PBS. Like, whatever you have to do, viewers like you, donate to PBS, because it's like, for me, you know, there were periods of time throughout my childhood where we had cable, and there were periods of time throughout my childhood when we didn't.
Never had cable.
And the amount of time I spent watching cartoons and shows and Mr. Rogers and like Sesame Street on PBS and
Nature, Nova.
Yes, I learned
Anna Green Gables
so much. I learned so much, even subjects I didn't like. Like, you know, there were like cartoons that were all about math, and I would watch those. So, like, it's so important for people who maybe don't have exposure to like other things or access to other things to be able to just go to channel 4 or whatever and be able to get an education.
Totally. Yeah. It's called Street Gang, How We Got to Sesame Street.
Honey.
And it's like how it happened and like the beginning early years of it. And it is beautiful. It's a well done documentary. And I feel like for anybody that's in their 30s and 40s, it just is such a nostalgia bomb. I was
sobbing.
full mess sobbing. Recommend it so highly. So
wow,
I'm gonna watch it.
I can't wait. You know, I'm definitely watching that.
You know, for me, I'm like, I have to be in just the right mindset to want to like feel my feelings, and it doesn't happen very often, so I get scared. I still haven't watched the Mr. Rogers documentary
because
I'm just too scared. I'm like,
no,
I'm
not ready for
I'm gonna
it.
Cry. I'm
my
gonna
heart's
cry.
Not ready. I generally the same, 100% Keegan. You and I don't I don't want to feel the feelings. Mm-hmm. I like to feel the feelings buried, buried deep down, never brought up again. And so when I started watching the show last night, which I binged almost all of, I have literally one episode left. It's Firefly Lane.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay, listen. There was a whole like segment in the show that like I was sobbing.
Really?
There's been like a lot of like little tearful moments, but anyway, it is so fucking good.
It's Katherine
Heigl and Sarah Chalk.
Okay.
Who I love.
Yeah.
She's adorable. And I've always kind of been whatever about Katherine Heigl. I'd never watched what was the show she was on?
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah,
wasn't into that. So like that wasn't she wasn't really on my radar too much, super much anyway. So it's really good.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's very good. Actually,
it's really really good, and it's and it keeps you like it's so it kind of takes place in different like 2003, and then you're like and then the 60s and 70s like when they're growing up, and so it kind of tosses back and forth like the scenarios, so you're following this friendship from its inception, and it is so good.
Nice.
I high recommend it. It was really really good.
I should watch it then, because people have recommended it in our Facebook group as well. Oh, yeah. People have brought it up, so yeah, I should definitely give that a watch. Yesterday during my hangover state I watched, so we have a friend, Nick Musco, I'll give him a shout out. He is a camera operator, and he was shooting a movie in Syracuse for like a couple of weeks before the pandemic hit and shut everything down.
Oh, no.
He had to come home and then like was able to fly back and finish shooting the movie. And it's called Plan B. And it's was, I think, written and directed by Natalie Morales, who's an actress.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was really good. So it follows like two high school girls. One of them has...
Oh, yeah.
So she has like a regrettable sexual encounter, her first sexual encounter, and is afraid she might be pregnant. And so her and her friend go on this like journey to try and get the Plan B pill. And it's actually like really... It was really good. It's funny. It's kind of a little silly, but like the things that they touch on are really important. Like how hard
access.
It is. Yeah. Like access, like, you know, for young women to be able to take control of their like reproductive health. And then it also touched on like cultural things and feminism. And, you know, it was just really
good. Heard good things about that.
Yeah.
Movie,
great.
Actually.
It was good.
Nice.
I really enjoyed it. So give that a watch, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. That sounds good.
Nice. Well, yeah, if you guys have stuff that we should watch, if you have stories, if you have a second and you can go and like and rate and review, that would be really great. But you can also go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworststatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.